Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, there have been people that have gone through and go through and are going through tremendous trials in their lives. Help them to realize your presence with them. Whether they're saved or not, may they have a sense that you're there. And I pray, Father, please, that you will open eyes of all people to see the good that you have given them. For your word, Father, says that your goodness falls on the just and the unjust, those who believe and have been saved and those that don't. And you're always showing that goodness. The rain falls everywhere as a picture of that. But Father, I just pray that you help us as your people to particularly be a thankful people. It's so easy every year at Thanksgiving to bring up the focus of being thankful, and we ought to. But Father, I pray that you'd instill in our own spirit, each one of us, a desire and a commitment to discipline ourselves and to practice looking for those things to give you thanks for every day, all of our entire life, whatever we're going through, wherever we're at, to be able to say, thank you, Lord, one, because you're my Father and you love me. And you always do what's good in my life, even though I may not understand, or even though, Father, I might not agree. But your love is unfailing, and it's not faulty. It's absolutely pure. And you're always working good on the behalf of your children. So we thank you for that. I pray for this message, Father, that in its simplicity, that it won't be made complicated, but that you, dear Holy Spirit, will simply preach your word and accomplish what you want to, that each of us will walk away not just feeling blessed, although that's a priority, but that we'll walk away spiritually fed and encouraged in our faith and in our relationship with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Christians, we should always remember, even in the direst circumstances, to place our reliance upon God. Don't ever walk away telling yourself that you have no hope. Don't allow anxiety to interfere with the promise and security that we have in Jesus and God, because he loves us and he's our Father. We are in him. He is in us. We are his children. He is our Father. And we are not neglected, and we're definitely not forgotten. And he remembers everything about our heart and our lives and our actions and all that we are. But even though 2020 has been a really tough year, it's really been difficult. It's really been a wild ride, if you will. We have a lot to be thankful to God for. And as Olin had mentioned earlier, that, you know, if we find ourselves getting bogged down, we need to take time to thank God, to shift our focus and say, look what you've done, and thank him for that. And that will truly help us in that. So this week, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I encourage you to specifically, in your conversations, to make it a point to say what you're thankful for, whether it be around the table with your family or whether it be just in your conversation. Make it a point to honor God and say, you know what? I just want to say I'm so thankful, and fill it in the blank. Because that thankfulness is not only a blessing to you and to those that are hearing it, but it's a blessing to God. Because we're declaring God's goodness and thanking him for it. And we can praise him in that. So what I want to do this morning, I want to look at five different things, because the pilgrims had that tradition of five kernels of corn on a plate. So we're going to look at five kernels of things that we can be thankful for out of Psalm 103. Okay? So let's go ahead and read Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, and also verses 10 through 12. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, the word transgressions there means offenses. When we sin, and obviously sin offends God, and sin has to be dealt with, and Jesus paid the price of the punishment of our sin as our Savior on the cross. But I want to look at a couple things here. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities? God forgave all of our sins. And oftentimes I've said from this pulpit over and over and over again that God has forgiven us of our past sins, our sins today, and our sins tomorrow completely. But here's one thing that 1 John 1:9 says, that when we confess our sins, he forgives us our sins, and then he does something else and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What he says is he not only forgives us for the things that we know we've done in the past or today or will do tomorrow, he forgives us of everything that we're not aware of that we've done wrong. How wonderful is that? He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Praise God. Amen. You know, sometimes as kids, we mess up. And as kids, you know, some of us growing up, we knew that we were going to, you know, get it, right? And then sometimes we're thinking we're going to get it, and we didn't. We didn't get the punishment that we knew that we deserved. So God doesn't give us the punishment that we deserve, because I don't think we can really understand the depth of the meaning of sin or the offense that it is, and the requirement of payment, not payment, the punishment due to those sins. So we can't quite grasp it, but we can praise God and thank God that he's not dealt with each one of us according to the sins that we've done. Because I can say, and I think you can too, that there's a lot of things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, even many things that we've forgotten. And in verse 12, it says he removed our transgressions from us, those offenses. So he's no longer offended with us because of our faith in Jesus. He's forgiven us. And of course, 1 John 1:9, if we want to remove the guilty stain that James talks about, keep our garments white and unspotted from sin, that's to keep ourselves clear, a clear conscience with God, then that comes through confession and saying, Father, I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me. And so God's forgiveness is complete. There's no need, like in history, where some churches have taught the people that they have to pay their indulgences. They have to pay for their sin. They have to pay the church for their sin. That's not what God has ever said in his word. But oftentimes people that are dealing with guilt will do things that are sacrificial or give financially in a great way or do some kind act, and they think that they're making amends with God because they've done these good things. They're dealing with their guilt and trying to get rid of it because they do good things. And God says your guilt can't be removed except through Jesus Christ. For his blood is what cleanses us from all sin. So God's forgiveness is complete. Nothing's left behind that we have to be punished for. Jesus took all of that on the cross. We definitely can give God thanks for that, can't we? In Acts 3:19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Our sins are blotted out, and we receive salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, blotted out, what does that imply? That means that God, implies to me, that God recorded our sins. But when we receive Christ, he blotted them out. He erased them. He removed them. And Paul said, if I could pay the price of going to hell to save my brothers and sisters in Israel, I would. And you can take my name out of the book of life, but that's not going to happen. And so God has forgiven us in a very complete and great way. And that's the first kernel, because I missed that on the board. The first kernel is the kernel of forgiveness. God has forgiven us. If there's anything we can be thankful for, it's that. Let me ask a question. Is it hard sometimes for us to accept God's forgiveness? Yeah. You know why? Because we don't forgive ourselves. And you know, that's the trick of Satan. Satan wants to beat us up with emotional guilt. So what do we do about that? We go to God and we say, God, I've received you, your son, as my savior. And you've cleansed, you've forgiven my sins through the blood of Christ, past, present, and future, and unknown. And Satan keeps rubbing this in my face. So as I am clean in you, help me to stand in the confidence of your word, and give me boldness to say right back to the attacks of the enemy, get out of my face, because I'm forgiven in Jesus' name. I'm forgiven through the blood of Christ. And so all of us can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in knowing that God has forgiven us past, present, and future and unknown ways. Praise God for that. So again, in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted. That means receive Christ as your Savior, that your sins may be blotted out, that though it's been recorded, will be blotted out, taken out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You and I who are believers have the Holy Spirit in our heart. Amen? We can be thankful for that, but is it the Holy Spirit that refreshes us? Yeah. When we don't expect it, remember last week? Wasn't it last week that I said, I'm mad. I don't want to sing that song that's in my heart, right? God, the Spirit of God wants to refresh us. And that's, he wants us to be lifted up. He wants us to know our sins are forgiven. He wants us to have a clear conscience before God as we make those confessions to him to remove the guilty conscience, but not to remove the sin. The sin's already been forgiven through Jesus Christ. We are in him, and he is in us. We have a lot to be thankful for. No matter what's going on in the world around us, we can thank God. And the enemy wants to take this time to drag us down, and God says, no, get your focus right and look to me and be thankful for what I have done in your life. Kernel number two is the kernel of healing. Now, I want you to understand as we read these verses, because I had to think about it, that the statements that are made are simply saying that God can do these things. And you understand what I'm saying as we read it. Okay, in Psalm 103, verse 3, part B, it says, who forgives all your iniquities, we talked about that before, who heals all your diseases. So as we're looking at the day we're living in with COVID around, or we know people that have died from a disease, we might look at that and the enemy whisper in your ear and says, he hasn't healed all diseases because so-and-so sick and so-and-so died from this disease or that or whatever. That's not what God is saying. He doesn't heal all diseases. He's saying he can heal any disease. I mean, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he healed people in many different ways, but he didn't heal everybody that was standing around that needed healing. So God can heal anything that he wants to, right? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, just the blessing that God designed for our bodies, okay? The blessing that God designed for our bodies. What did God do? What's the blessing that God, regarding healing in our own body, created in the image of God, what did he do for us? He gave us mechanisms called antibodies, naturally. He gave us natural immunities, didn't he? He's also given doctors and people the opportunity to gain medical knowledge, right? Doctors to be able to help us with the problems that we're having physically. And we can praise God and be thankful for that. So as you and I have had our health issues, praise God for the doctors that really helped us. Praise God for the ones that didn't, so we know to be more careful about what they're saying. I mean, be real. Some doctors are quacks. Right? And they're not out for your best interest, but there are others that definitely are. And it's just us being able to say, thank you, God, for allowing me to see the difference and to be able to have the intuitiveness and the clarity of thought to be able to analyze what's being told to me so I can do what's right. And we have the medical help that's needed. And so God has healed people miraculously. We've seen that. In our own church, there's a lady called Flo Schreiner, and she had cancer several times. I remember one time her neck was way out here, and she was healed at least two or three times. God doesn't heal everybody. That doesn't mean God is bad. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, especially as a believer in Christ. Hey, Paul said, I'd rather be there than here. Being there is far better than being here. He was there. God took him there, whether by spirit or body. And he says, it's far better to be there, but God has something for me to do here. The same is true for you and I as believers. God is anxiously waiting for us to go there because the scripture says, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Isn't that a weird statement? But what he's saying is this, hey, it's your time to come home, and I'm so excited you're home. And it's far better there than here. But those that are, of us that are here as believers are to be serving the Lord. But we've seen people physically healed. I've seen children with tumors in their head and melanoma blastoma, which covers their spine like a fried egg, with that see-through fried egg, crusty stuff covering the spine. I've seen that little boy healed over and over. And so we can praise God that he does heal. What does that do for us? That tells us that with God, we have hope. Whether he heals us physically here, and I've heard people say it, or if he heals us physically there. And I say physically because one day we're going to get a new body that has no disease and that's eternal, that has no more pain or suffering. And in the meantime, you're still rejoicing in the Lord. So kernel number three is the kernel of redemption. Psalm 103, verse 4, the first part. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, I've read a lot about missionaries that have gone through horrendous times of destruction in their lives. But what is the stability in their life that keeps them afloat? Their faith and their relationship with Jesus. That's something to be thankful for, that no matter what comes our way, no matter how difficult it is, as a believer, we have Jesus, and he keeps us in his hands. The scripture says, no one can pluck you out of my hand. No one can take what the Father has put in my hand, out of my hand. We are in the secure grip of Jesus' hand, never to be released from him again. So in Psalm 103, 4a, again, it says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So we can't pay for our sin, and praise God, because we would never pay it off. No matter what some theologians thought in old days, that it was possible to pay off your sin and then go to heaven afterwards. But Christ paid for our sin. We didn't have to. We can thank him for that. We can thank him for the redemption, snatching us up out of that place of condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, we're no longer condemned, but we're made righteous in Christ Jesus. Right? So you and I, no matter what guilt comes down on us, remember, change your focus and give thanks. I'm no longer condemned. Your word has told me that, and your word is sure. We can walk in that security of knowing that. And the enemy just wants to slap us down with all of our guilt, everything he can. And we need to change our focus and say, God has forgiven me. Thank you, Lord. God is with me, never will leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord. God is right there, the Holy Spirit's in my heart and in your heart. Thank you, Lord, that refreshes me, that encourages me, that helps me in difficult times. Kernel number four is the kernel of love and compassion. The kernel of love and compassion. Aren't we glad that God is loving and compassionate? I mean, if he didn't love us, we'd be in a bad place. And I mean that tongue-in-cheek. I mean the pun intended. Whether this side of hell or in hell, we'd be in a bad place. Right? And so he is a God of love and a God of compassion. He's compassionate. He cares about us. He cares about you. And so in Psalm 103, verse 4, the last part, and then verse 13, it says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. When someone crowns somebody, what are they doing in essence? They're honoring them. They're placing a crown on their head. You ever watch the Crown series on TV? Okay, I've watched some of it. And they put the crown on the queen's head or the prince's head or whatever. And there's an honor. There's a glory that's there. And God has given you and I at least one crown. Because when we receive Christ as our Savior, we get the crown of salvation. And there are five crowns that we can get. We won't get into that this morning, but God wants to honor us. He crowns you with loving kindness. It's the loving kindness of God that honors us. God loves me. I see how God intervenes in my life. I see what God is doing. I see how God shows his mercy when I don't expect it. I see his forgiveness when it's amazing that he would even forgive me. I see the power and the promise of his word that holds me up and that I can rely on and cling to. Those are things that crown us with honor because we are in Christ Jesus and he is in us. And we know his tender mercies. In verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You know, God does see our weaknesses. He does see our shortcomings. But praise God, his love never falters for us. Satan will whisper in our ear and say, God doesn't love you, and he don't like you no more. You know, that's a lie. That's a lie. But Satan will try to convince us, oh, God doesn't care about you because you've blown it royally over and over and over. So he's not even going to listen to you. That's a lie. Because his love is solid and it never ends. And Scripture says that his love is immeasurable. It's not possible for us to understand how great God's love is for us. So God's love is like a father's love for his child. You know, in Scripture it also says that if a good father knows how to give good gifts to his children, who's an earthly father, how much greater is your heavenly father who knows how to give good gifts to us? We can be thankful for the things that God has given us, and there are things that God has given us that we're not aware that he's given us. And we can thank him for that. I'll give you an example of that, spiritual warfare. We don't see the darkness of the spiritual warfare around us. God does. And we don't know how he's intervened to help protect us from that either. God does. And we can praise him for that. The third kernel is the kernel of redemption. In Psalm 103, 4a, did I already go over that? Okay, well, that's good because then we can move on. So God has a compassion for us like a father and child. And God's love is unmatched to any other love. So I could almost feel Kathy's vibe. You already been there. You know, but that's all right. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to think about the most repulsive person that you've ever known or heard of before. I think of Charles Manson. Okay? And I think about the horrible people that are out there. And I think about the horrible injustices that have taken place. And I think about the reality that they will never reach up to God on their own. You say, well, people have reached up to God as a product of, you know, they're going through hardships. So how can you say they won't reach up on their own? Because any desire for us to reach up to God is the work of the Holy Spirit stirring our heart to do so. Because our human nature is so vile and so sinful that we in our own carnal flesh do not desire the things of God. But God's love intervenes in your heart and my heart and stirs our heart to desire him. But it's our decision to respond to what God is putting on our heart. As you and I know, in following Christ, it's a decision. As people that don't know Christ and yet the Spirit of God is working in their life, whether in their heart or externally or whatever, they have a choice as well to respond in an appropriate way to God. And so God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ said, you don't know me, you don't love me, you are repulsive to me in your sinful nature, but I love you beyond your comprehension, and therefore I will die for you to provide a way of salvation. Is that something to be thankful for? Obviously. Because without Christ, we would have no hope. No hope at all. Kernel number 5. The last kernel. The kernel of blessing. In Psalm 103, verse 5 and 17 through 18, it says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your mouth is renewed like the eagles. Y'all get that? Y'all understand that? Does that verse make sense? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm going, what in the world is God saying? You know, because it doesn't make sense. How does that apply? Well, in looking at it, we know that eagles can live 100 years. And even on the oldest eagle, let's say, being 100 years old, every year their feathers are renewed. So at a 100-year-old eagle can have fresh new attire. So no matter where we are in life, God can renew our spirit. God can refresh us. God can renew us. God can lift us up. God will circle us with his love and his compassion. So like the eagles renewed, we are renewed in our own heart spiritually by the Spirit of God that lives in us. And sometimes physically God renews us and makes us whole. Okay? But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. When we fear God, honor God, respect God, and for years in ministry I've heard it, well, fear doesn't really mean fear because God loves you. It means respect. It does mean respect, but we better respect God enough to fear the consequences of our actions. Does that make sense? And so we need to remember that. We are to fear him, but if we fear him with that respect, then and knowing that if we don't, that there are severe consequences in our lives, and especially as our Heavenly Father, he will discipline us, we need to remember that when we are right with God and choosing to follow him with the right heart, that it follows through to our children. There's a verse that you might look up if you go home. It's Revelation 14, 13. I've been meditating on that for a couple weeks. I'm not going to tell you what it is, so you can go home and look it up. But it's something that has really blessed me and something for you to meditate on as well. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. So God is merciful to us as we live for him. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. God's blessings are given to those who obey him. Truthfully, God blesses even those that don't, but they don't necessarily realize it. God knows how to bless his children. That's the focal point. In Matthew 7:11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I've asked God for things that people say, you shouldn't ask for that. That's materialistic. So what? He's my dad. I can ask God, hey, dad, or my father, hey, father, I'd really like this. I gotta tell it again, but the stereos in high school. I said, God, I want a stereo. Didn't have the money for a stereo. Go to my best friend's house. He had three stereos. He knew it was my birthday. He said, come on back to my bedroom. He says, choose which one you want. I said, you're kidding. He says, nope. I didn't ask him which one was the best, but I said, I want that one. And God just gave it to me. He's our Father. He loves us. We're his children. Don't be afraid to ask him for anything. Doesn't mean he'll give it to us because he's a good father. He knows what's good for us and what isn't, right? So this Thanksgiving, when we sit down and we enjoy our Thanksgiving meal and the traditions that we have at Thanksgiving, or the traditional food that we cook on Thanksgiving, that we are to remember the five kernels of Thanksgiving. One is forgiveness, healing, redemption, love and compassion, and blessing. And remember, healing, right, it can be spiritual or emotional. Forgiveness, of course, we know redemption is being saved. Love and compassion is never ending. He's blessed us richly forever. So Don't go home and say, well, that was a Thanksgiving message in itself. Go home as believers and brothers and sisters in Christ and say, Lord, help me to be more thankful as a part of my lifestyle, because it'll glorify you and it'll help me to keep the right focus. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, we thank you because you're our Father. And as believers, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And one day we're going to see each other in heaven. We're going to know each other in heaven. We're going to enjoy heaven together and all the wondrous things that you have in store in eternity forward that we don't even know about. And so, Father, I praise you for what you have not only provided for us by giving us salvation through faith in Jesus as our Savior, but also for your loving mercies and your kindness and your compassion, for your active hand in our life, for the future that we have that is beyond our comprehension, and so much, much more, Lord. Help us to be a people that are thankful. And in times that are so frustrating and ugly, Father, and that's not unusual for world history, help us as believers to have a joyful, thankful heart in you, that your light will shine, for you've called us to be light and salt in a world of darkness, that your light will reveal who you are through us to others that don't know you, and that as we share you, that they might come to know you as their Savior and have that preservation of salvation through the salt that you called us to be, that you will preserve us as your people in a world of darkness, and that we will rejoice, that we will praise you, that we will encourage each other, that we'll hold each other up, that we will stand together strong as your people, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ in the world that you have placed us in. In this era and this time period, you have designed and purposed for each one of us to live and to experience with the purpose of reflecting you and your love through our lives. May you be magnified. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.